All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to 2 Corinthians. This morning we were in 2 Chronicles, but tonight 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. I'm Pastor You-Know-Who. Good grief. That's Dr. You-Know-Who to you, buddy. Oh, Jim, you're a character, boy. I tell you what. Funny, funny, funny. All right, 2 Corinthians. I told you last week that that was the last of the series of messages. I preached about six messages over the last month or so on the Holy Spirit. And, wasn't quite the end. I got one more here. A little something that I thought about last Sunday night after church. And I think you'll see it's on the same par, but it's not completely on the matter of the Holy Spirit. So I guess it's not another one, but it did come from that series of thought. Look, please, in chapter 1 at verse 1, and I'm going to read down to verse, I'll finish at verse 8. And verse 8, the last part of the verse, is what I want to use as the thought tonight. But let's begin in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace. There's the Siamese twins of the New Testament, grace and peace. Grace and peace be unto you, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be also of the consolation. Now here's my text. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our, what's the next word? Of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. Now, here's the severity of what the Apostle Paul faced. He said that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We have, over the last several weeks, looked at several things concerning the Holy Spirit of God. We looked at resisting the Spirit. We looked at grieving the Spirit. We looked at yielding to the Spirit. We looked at the fullness of the Spirit, the filling. We looked at last week at living in the Spirit. And if we are living in the Spirit, then that's the means whereby we are led by the Spirit of God. And of course, we need to be led by the Spirit of God in all that we do. Now, tonight, I want to I want to preach to you for a little while on this matter, spiritual pressure. I'm going to call the message spiritual pressure. Now, you will notice here that Paul said in the last part of verse 8, we were pressed. We were pressed. Now, I want to speak to you tonight on spiritual pressure. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, we thank you so much for the experiences of the Apostle Paul that are recorded in the Bible for us. And Lord, thank you for speaking to my heart this week. And I pray that you'll now help me tonight, that I'll be able to convey to our church what, Lord, you have blessed my heart with. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to see the point here quickly tonight and be able to feed our souls on the blessed Word of God. And Lord, help us to understand your way as we heard tonight. Your ways are not our ways. And many times it's difficult for us to understand your way. Lord, may that not discourage us. May that not, sidetrack us. Lord, your ways are not our ways. And sometimes it's just not easy for us to understand and see what you're doing. But Lord, you promised to lead us as we're living in the Spirit. You promised, Lord, to fill us and to use us to make a difference in other people's lives. And Lord, we got all these faithful promises that are ours. So Lord, help us not to lose sight of your Holy Spirit and how the Spirit works in our hearts. Bless us now, Lord. I pray you'll bless every one of us tonight. Give us something that we can take out of here tonight and use this week for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, last week I mentioned to you that that as we are living in the Spirit, and by that I mean we're not just a Christian on Sunday, but you know, we're reading our Bible and we're growing and we're praying during the week and we're living for the Lord. We are living in the Spirit. Then that's the means for us to be led by the Spirit. Through the years, I've had just oodles of people who have said to me, you know, Pastor, the Lord is leading me. And, you know, sometimes you just say, really? You think that's the Lord, do you? You know, sometimes what they come out with after the Lord is leading me, when they tell me what the Lord is leading them to do, you sometimes kind of wonder. We do know this. God's never going to lead you to do anything that's contrary to His Word. And so you got to be careful, you know, when you start thinking in the realm of, is the Lord the one leading me here? Is this God leading me? You see, we don't only live in a physical world, but we also live in a spirit world. I'm not sure we think about that very often, but nonetheless, it is true. Some of you guys can identify with what I'm about to say here, but I've gotten to the place where I can tell you when a low pressure system is coming. I can tell you when a low pressure system is coming. And the reason I know is because my knees ache and I get this pressure right above my eyes and around to my temples. You see, the physical world gives me a warning of what is coming. But we also live in a spiritual world. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 20 that the whole creation moaneth and travaileth until now. We are all familiar with the physical, and there is constantly much that goes on in the realm of the physical that completely just occupies our every waking moment. That's all we think about. And we don't stop and think about the fact that there is a spirit world that is very active and has us at the center of all of its activity. There's a whole other world that is busy. And since we cannot see that world, most of us feel its effects, but we never stop to consider what's going on. Paul spoke in Ephesians 5 about principalities and powers and about the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. I said to you one time that if it were possible for me to peel back the clay that is over our eyes that keeps us from seeing into this spiritual world, if I could peel back the clay so that you could see this spirit world, it would literally scare you to death. Demons doing the bidding of Satan. Angels doing the bidding of God. Constantly warring and fighting for control of hearts and minds. Now here, Paul gives us a little insight into this conflict as it applied to his own life. And notice, he says that the struggle they had when they were in Asia was so fierce and so intense that he despaired even unto life. All of us know, or who know the Lord, fight these spiritual struggles. You will identify with this struggle anytime you sit down to read the Bible. That's the struggle going on right there, because the devil does not want you reading his Bible. You will identify with the struggle every Wednesday evening about 6:15. And you will identify with the struggle when somebody gets up here and encourages you to learn how to win somebody to Christ. It is a constant battle. We cannot see it, and therefore we don't think about the fact that it is really going on. But the saints of God are under constant pressure. And sometimes it is difficult to determine from which direction this pressure is coming. Now, I said to you a moment ago that I've had people for all these years now, and they will say, you know, Pastor, the Lord is leading me too. And then they'll tell me. And I tell you, there's been more times than not, I'll have to be honest with you and say that. There's been more times than not where I have listened to what the Lord was leading them to do. And I have thought to myself, no, God's not leading you to do that either. That's somebody else leading you. Because God is not going to lead you to do something that is contrary to his word. And it's a constant thing. And sometimes it's difficult to determine where the pressure is coming from. If it is of God, then God is going to give you peace about it through his word and through your obedience. Is it of God, or is this spiritual pressure from some other source? And I don't know how many times through the years I've had people call, or they've stopped by the office, or they've stopped me in the hallway, and they've said, Pastor, can I come in, talk to you, tell you what's going on, and would you help me figure this out? And many a time that has occurred through the years. You see, the truth is, this spiritual pressure can come from several different sources. Paul said, we were pressed beyond measure. I don't even think we know what that means. Paul said that pressured with a strength that was greater than anything we'd ever felt before. insomuch that we found ourselves in a state of despair as whether we were going to even survive this spiritual conflict that we faced when we went to Asia. Now, I want you just to think with me for a couple of minutes tonight. I think when you boil it all down, all right, you just take away everything from it, that spiritual pressure can only come from one of two sources. It's either of God or it's of the devil. Now, let's think for just a moment. Spiritual pressure may come from the Lord. God may put some pressure on us. You say, well, Pastor, why would God put any spiritual pressure on me? Well, he just may be trying to press you into service. He may be trying to press you into doing something for him. That's why the pressure may, God may give you the pressure. You know, some folks are so easygoing that God would never get anything out of them unless he pushed them into service. Isn't that true? The Lord certainly admires all those that volunteer and say, as we heard a minute ago, here am I, Lord, send me. I tell you, I've just been amazed all day. The songs, even Jim's testimony. And I'm sitting here listening to all this and say, yep, there's that in my message. It's right there. I think God's trying to speak to our hearts, folks. The Lord certainly admires those that volunteer and say, here am I, Lord, send me. But you know, men can be patriotic and yet dread the very thought of going to war. So maybe the Lord, like our government, must draft and demand that we go. How does he draft you? Put a little pressure on you. And the drafted make good soldiers, but they must be pressed into service. It's kind of like the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18. When he got to Corinth, he felt like going out and preaching on the streets, but without anybody there to help him, he thought it best to wait for reinforcements. And in verse 5 of that 18th chapter, he said, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. I'm saying, folks, that God will sometimes press our spirit in order to get us to serve him. This pressure is given to us from God, not because God's angry, not because God's mad at us, but because God has something that needs to be done and somebody needs to step up and do it. And so the press will come. God can press us in the spirit just to stop us and to have us pray for someone. I had a preacher friend this week and he texted me and he said, you got a minute? And I texted him back and I said, yeah, what's up? He said, I need to talk to you. I said, call me. And seconds later, my phone rang. And he said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, why? He said, I was just sitting here at my desk studying for Sunday. And all of a sudden, he said, God put you on my heart. And I stopped what I was doing and I prayed for you. Now, little did I know, but there was a matter that I needed prayer for. There was something came up that I needed prayer for. And that guy, God laid it on his heart to pray for me. Are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm good. Why? I hope he calls tomorrow. I'll tell him I'm terrible. God may press you to stop and pray for someone. God may press you to stop and witness to someone. God may press you to write a note of encouragement, or God may press you to see a need and meet that need. That's the Holy Spirit pressing on our hearts because there's service that needs to be done. And man, these are delightful and blessed pressures that the Christian life experiences. And our hearts should always be tuned into heaven for this type of pressure. Man, we just ought to be geared that way. We ought to just be geared so that when the Holy Spirit just touches us a little bit. I'm thinking about Jesus walking through the streets and the crowds of people that were gathered around him. And as he went by, dozens and dozens of people were touching him, but one little gal reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus stopped and said, "Somebody touched me." He knew exactly who it was. Our hearts should be tuned into heaven so that when the Holy Spirit just barely taps us, we know that we're being spoken to. That's spiritual pressure from God. But then there's a second area, and that is spiritual pressure can also come from Satan. Oh, folks, listen very carefully to what I'm about to give you tonight. I want you to have that discerning spirit. I want you to know when the pressure is coming from God, and I want you to know when it's coming from the devil. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, and one that I've preached on so many times through the years, is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. And Paul said that we're to put on the whole armor of God. Why? So we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places." I want you to notice, folks, Paul declares our main battle is a spiritual battle. Man, here we are going through life and all we're focused on is the physical. That's all we, I mean, be honest, that's where our focus is. Our focus is upon the physical world around us. We're so much in tune with the physical. But Paul very clearly tells us that our battle, our real struggle as we go through life is not in the physical realm. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not another person, not another human being. Your enemy is not that person who has criticized you or did you wrong in some fashion. Your enemy is the devil. Plain and simple. And the devil will pressure that person to criticize or to judge or to harm you in some fashion. But your enemy is still not that person. Your enemy is a spiritual enemy. You know, I think sometimes we forget who the devil really is. Can I remind you who he was or who he is? Satan was at one time probably... We don't know this 100% for sure, but it kind of stands to reason using principles of biblical interpretation. But the devil was probably one of the three archangels in heaven. Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. Probably. He was equal or may have even been superior to Michael and Gabriel, and maybe was second only to God Almighty in wisdom and in power. And when he was kicked out of heaven, he did not lose his strength and his wisdom. The only thing he lost when he was kicked out of heaven was his holiness. In order to see the strength that angels have, all you have to do is look in your Bible. And God reveals their strength to us in several passages of Scripture. Let me remind you that in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35, we read where one angel slew 185,000 men in one night. In Exodus, we read where on the day of the Passover, that on the night of the Passover, that the angel of the Lord went through the land of Egypt and slew the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Now, folks, Egypt was greatly populated in those days. So this would have been a huge number that was slain that night. In Daniel, he declared, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths." And these passages show us the supernatural strength and power of the angels. And may I remind you, folks, that Satan is a fallen angel of the first magnitude. His subtlety, his wisdom, his strength, his hatred, and deceptive ability is far beyond our realm of comprehension. To see the might and the power, all you got to do is just look at the names that are given to the devil in our Bible. He is called the angel of the bottomless pit. He is called the prince of darkness. He is called the accuser of the brethren. He is called the murderer. He is called the liar, the tormentor, the deceiver, the god of this world, the roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour, the dragon and the piercing serpent. And there are many other names and descriptions given in the Bible to show just how strong and powerful he is. And folks, I submit to you that were it not for God's restraining power, Satan would crush us in a second. Look at what Paul said in our text. He came near to killing the mighty apostle Paul when he pressed him out of measure, above strength, insomuch that he despaired for his life. We should not be amazed or alarmed that we sometimes find ourselves in hand-to-hand conflict with our great enemy. Peter said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Brethren, plainly put, you and I are in a war. It's a spiritual war, but nonetheless, we're in a war. And our adversary, the devil, is doing all he can to destroy you and to destroy your influence and to destroy your testimony and to destroy the truth that is in your heart. Now listen very carefully. I've said the pressure can come from God or it can come from the devil. I've also said that whenever a human being presses you, our tendency is to blame that human being. We get mad at the person. And the devil sits back there pushing pressure buttons, laughing the whole time we're focusing our attention upon a person. Listen very carefully. The devil is delighted in shifting the scenes of battle to get us off the real conflict. He delights. Remember now, he's the great deceiver. He's the liar. He can transpose himself into an angel of light. We cannot see the spirit world, but we do see the physical world. And you can be sure the devil delights when we focus our fighting efforts on the physical instead of on the spiritual. We focus on a person. We focus on an issue. We focus on a situation. And we become consumed with it. And while we sit around with our focus upon the physical world, the devil stands in the background accomplishing his evil while we bite and devour one another. Mark it down, dear friend. The devil would like nothing more than for you to get mad at me, or for you to get mad at one of these other guys up here, or for you to get mad at somebody else that's sitting in this congregation tonight. Oh, the devil delights in that. That's where he does his best work. Biting and fussing and devouring, that's where the devil's at most at home. While the real enemy just sits back and watches as God's people self-destruct. Let me tell you something, folks. The prime agent in the fight is Satan himself. We are in a spiritual conflict, and the two great opposing forces are Christ and the devil. It amazes me how easily we are duped by the wiles of the devil. I mean, someone thinks that they've been mistreated. Someone says something that they should not say. Someone feels that they are slighted, or maybe they are slighted. Someone makes a decision that you don't like. And the next thing you know, some believer is just all out of sorts, and all of a sudden, here's what they say. Pastor, the Lord is leading us to look for another church. Is he now? The Lord's leading you. What's the matter? What's the matter? Here's one they hear. All of a sudden, when we got all our focus on the physical world around us, and then somebody says, Pastor, you know, the Lord's just leading me to tell you this. Oh, okay, what's the Lord leading you to tell me? Well, you know, the church is changing. Well, folks, let me say just one thing. I hope so. You know, if something doesn't change, don't get mad at me, but if we don't change, it's retardation. We stay the same. We don't ever grow. No, thank you. I don't want that. Yes, the church is changing. I hope it's changing for the good. I hope that we're getting closer to the Lord. I hope that our focus is becoming more biblical. I hope, listen, music's not changing. I'll kill him first. The soul winning's not changing. How many did you say, Jim, in 2 weeks? 260-something. They're probably in church. They're probably not a church. He's the Mississippi that can say they've had 260-some people saved in the last 2 weeks. You know what's changing? We're getting older. And truth is, there's been an awful lot of us die off here lately. That's changing. The church, you know, Pastor, the Lord's just leading. No, he's not. You know what the Lord's doing? The Lord's pushing you to fill some spots. The Lord's pushing you to get in the book. What you're doing is you're putting your focus up on old Holbrook over here. Well, he walked by me and didn't even speak. He does that. You know why? Because he's always in a hurry. There's work to be done. He's got to do all he can before he keels over. Sun goes down, he just falls over. But man, we got all our focus on, well, you know that Bob Roche. Oh, what? Well, you know that I tell you, that Jim Boyer. Well, I agree with you on that one. We need to talk. No, our real enemy is the devil. Well, do you know what that Larry Haynes did? I don't care. Don't come and gripe to me about it. If you got a problem with Larry, go talk to Larry. He'll pray with you and get it settled. Well, that Justin Russell. Folks, listen, we got to get our attention off of one another and personalities and individuals, and we got to put our focus on who our real enemy is, the one that's trying to destroy us. And you cannot fight a spiritual battle, which is what this is, without spiritual weapons. And right here is your sword. This is the sword. And you know, the whole time, I tell you, I've gotten to the place now where I can watch people slip into that spiritual coma. I can almost spot them. I know where it starts. I've been at it long enough and I've seen it enough. I can just about tell you where you're almost comatose. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to get comatose. Good. Get in your book. Stay in church. Learn how to live in the Spirit. Pray for power and strength and victory, and get your eyes off of me and get your eyes off of the staff and get your eyes on Jesus. The king of Tyre, the devil, has millions of fallen angels to do his bidding. You know, he's got tools he hadn't even pulled out of the toolbox yet. In Revelation chapter 9, when the devil knows that he has but a short time, he will unleash 200 million demons upon this world during the tribulation period to aid and abet his Antichrist. Think of that, dear friend. Like a wise general, the devil has millions of eager soldiers in reserve, just ready for an overwhelming final assault upon this world. How sad that so many of us are pressured by the devil's attack and we can't see it. I'm begging you tonight to open your eyes. All we see is the physical focus of our anger or our hurt or our pain. Let me tell you something, folks, as clearly as I can tell it to you. Look at me. Everybody in here, look at me. Look here. I am not your enemy. You need to stop focusing your anger and your bitterness and your scorn and your hatred at people and turn your anger and your scorn upon the devil. You're wasting your spiritual energy by directing your anger towards another human being. And though Satan intends our ruin, if we only hold still while under pressure, God will turn it around to our account, to our enlargement and to our blessing. And years ago, I'll close with this. Years ago, I was preaching out in Michigan. Years ago, and the pastor that I was with had about half his church work for the Ford or the General Motors plant out there. And he said, "Do you want to go to the Ford plant and take a tour?" He said, "Some of my men want me to bring you by. They want to show you what they do." And I said, "Sure, I'll be glad to." And the guy we went to meet was the head of a department that tested everything that goes on a Ford vehicle. they tested the motors, the transmissions. I mean, from bumper to bumper, everything was tested. And what they did was they would put pressure upon a part. They would put a part in some kind of a grip or some kind of a machine that would measure, and they would put pressure on it, and they would test several parts to see a mean average and see whether or not that was good enough to go on their vehicle. And I never will forget the guy standing there explaining it to me. And he said, the pressure does not injure, but instead it ensures the machinery. Now it took me a little while to figure out what he was saying. But folks, in like manner, God permits severe pressure to come our way to prepare us for future success. One reason why some engines and some men and women and teenagers, but one reason why some engines and some men blow up is because they were turned out too soon. But notice, I've shown you that pressure can come from God, but it can also come from the devil. God pressures us for service. God wants us to serve Him. But notice, the devil also pressures us for service. You see, he pressures us so we'll serve him. And brethren, you're not going to serve God focusing your anger or your hatred or your bitterness towards another person. Why do you think the Lord Jesus said to us, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, in that ye love one another? You know, plainly put, we just all need to learn to love one another. The same old struggle and the same old battle that we're fighting today has been raging ever since Adam stood by the tree and listened to the lie of the serpent. And I just pray tonight that God will give us grace and strength to trust Him in the midst of life's pressures.